Chapter 37. Half-eaten fruit, some of it rotten, lay scattered between the upturned beds, torn sheets and stained walls of the once neat dormitory. A window had been broken so that the magpies and rooks could fly in and out at will. The fighters of General Ironbeak had smashed the small wooden lockers and tables. They lay about in the wreckage, some sleeping, others eating. Ironbeak had taken the infirmary and sickbay as his headquarters. Mangers explored the cupboards, poking his beak into Sister May's collection of herbal remedies.
Why do these stupid earth crawlers keep dead leaves and grasses? They are not good to eat. So what use are they?
Ironbeak perched on Sister May's wooden stool.
Who knows, Mangers? That is nothing to do with our problem. I'm certain that the earth crawlers have plenty to eat and drink down in that place called Cavern Hole. The time is coming when we will have to think about an attack. We will go in there and drag them out.
Mangus stood on the medicine cupboard, shaking his head.
That would be like using a boulder to crush an ant, my general. I am sure there must be a better answer to your problem.
Then tell me, Mangus, you are my seer. Are the pictures becoming clear in your mind again?
My vision is still clouded by the mouse that wears armor, but I am not relying on dreams and visions. Soon now I will think of an idea.
Ka-chaw!
Then think quickly, Mangers, or the summer will be gone. When the brown leaves blow and the wind becomes cold, I want those earth crawlers to be only a memory as I rule in my great redstone house.
Formal had wasted no time. He and his crew had tunneled through from Cavern Hall to the grounds. They emerged by the west wall, poking their snouts out into the sunlight.
You may as well try and keep water in a sieve as stopping us moles or going where we do please.
Aye, Jart, where to now?
I'm thinking us had best tunnel to pool.
Then to Miss Cornfra's little house by yon gate.
Don't ye forget a nice deep in the orchard.
Soon a veritable network of tunnels was under construction. Rollo was not too pleased. They had taken the big table for the barricade, and now he had nowhere to camp. He soon cheered up when Ambrose Spike allowed him to help with the hammering and nailing of the barrier. Chairs and benches, cupboards and shelves, together with the large banqueting table, were placed across the bottom step of Cavern Hall. Ambrose and Winifred had given it a lot of thought. There were spaces to fire arrows through, slits for javelins and spears, plus a form that the defenders could stand upon to sling stones over the top at the enemy. The abbot and Sister May had done a thorough stock-taking of all food in the larders and drink in the wine cellar, and there was little danger of provision shortage. Constance checked the weaponry. Besides the standard arms, there were lots of kitchen utensils that could double as fearsome implements of war. The badger brandished a copper-bottomed saucepan thoughtfully.
What do you think, Cornflower?
It would make quite a fetching war helmet for you, Constance.
Brother Sedge snatched it from the badger.
Do you want moss flower vegetable stew with dumplings or not?
He asked crossly.
Oh, sorry, I didn't know you were planning to use that saucepan.
Here, take this rolling pin. It'll make a useful club. And put that frying pan down, please. I'm cooking red currant pancakes with apple slices.
Brother Sedge told the badger indignantly.
Right. Is this pan all right to borrow?
Perfectly. Then I won't have to make any hazelnut green sauce to pour over my pancakes.
Constance put the pan down quickly.
No hazelnut cream sauce? Unthinkable. Brother Sedge, I've just had a splendid idea. Why don't you invite the birds down to lunch and feed them to death?
Brother Sedge picked up a ladle aggressively.
Are you insulting my cooking, badger?
Cornflower shook at mirth.
Oh, dear, no. I'm sure she meant the remark as a compliment. Come on, Constance. Let's see if any of the gardening tools can be of use to us.
They retreated chuckling as Brother Sedge sliced apples savagely. Formal reappeared through the tunnel entrance into Cavern Hall. He waved to the abbess.
Look at your alfalfa, Zert. Fresh water aplenty.
Moles climbed out bearing buckets of water on poles between them, proof that the tunnel to the pond had been completed. The abbot was well pleased.
Thank you, Formole. Now we have all we need. Look, Mrs. Churchmouse, fresh water, as much as we need.
Mrs. Churchmouse rolled her sleeves up busily.
Wonderful. I think it's high time for some beasts to get a bath.
Rollo gave a yelp of dismay and tried to crawl into the tunnel, but he met Gaffer, who was climbing out.
You be, marm. You scrub that little fella nice and clean now.
Baby Rollo was carried off, protesting loudly.
I want to be a mole. Moles don't get bathed.
Mangus had been thinking very hard.
My general, last time I was in the galleries of Great Hall, I saw the mouse in armour. He was not a real live mouse, but a picture on a great cloth that is fastened to the wall. The earth crawlers must value him highly.
What if they do, Mangus? A piece of cloth is a piece of cloth. How can this help us?
Maybe they value him highly enough to defend him.
What is going on in your head, my Mangus? Tell me.
I am thinking that we will not have to attack the earth crawlers. If they saw us trying to take the big cloth with the picture of the mouse on, they would come out and attack us to save it.
Iron Beak clacked his beak together sharply.
We would catch them out in the open. This is a good plan. Mangus, you are my strong right wing.
The sun slanted through the windows of Redwall Abbey. It shone on the large tapestry in the peace and quiet of Great Hall.